This is Amateur Logic, episode 123, for May 24th, 2024. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. From high-powered base stations to compact and travel-friendly handhelds, ICOM radios keep you active on all bands, inside your shack, or out in the field. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Emil.
And I'm Mike.
And it's great to be back with everyone after an exciting, somewhat eventful weekend, last weekend, at Hamvention. I was there. Who else was there?
I was not there. I wish I was, but I wasn't.
Meh. Cheaped out.
I was there along with Cousin Jerry, yes.
Emil wouldn't sign my request for the funds, so.
Nope. Way too much.
He said only two of the crew could afford to go at a time, so next year is him and I.
A fun time was had by all.
Part of the time.
Yes.
I got food poisoning or a bug or something, and Friday night about 8 o'clock, it kicked me in the gut. So I missed most of Saturday at Hamvention. I did make it back for a little bit there, the last couple of hours of it. So I had a somewhat truncated event to the, that's all I can say. But nevertheless, had a good time all except part of my stay in the hotel.
I'm kind of glad I missed that thing because I might have caught it too. Most time we share a room in there.
Yeah. You might have, but then again, you might not have, and you could have gone on and shot some more stuff, and we'd have more video that wouldn't fit into an episode. Like,
It looks like y'all did pretty good for.
Yeah. We had a fun time. I had a lot of help there. We'll see them in a moment. But Mike and I got together on the first day, along with Cousin Jerry, and as usual, went with no particular plans in mind.
Right on target.
You know, and let the chips fall where they might. I didn't buy anything but a bottle of water. You know, I didn't.
Is that it right there?
No, this is a different bottle. They wouldn't let me carry this on board. Hmm. I could have packed it in my luggage, but then I would have been overweight. I mean, I was like on the
16 ounces back. Just... Fluid ounces just weren't going to make it.
They'll let you get by with 50 and a half pounds, but you go over that and they want you to start pulling stuff out. Stream Contest University on Thursday there, they had a great event this year again. That video is online. If you want to watch it, it's on DX Engineering's YouTube channel. I'd encourage you, go check it out. Whether you're a contest or not, you're going to find some good, useful information on there. Rob Sherwood was on there again. He's near the very end of those sessions. Mm-hmm. He talks about the new radios and it's got measurements on them, gives you the specs on how everybody's kind of lining up on the chart there. And he talked about some new things that, well, we'll be talking about a little bit later in some of the videos here. But check that out. Contest
did
University.
Did my BitX 40 make the list?
No.
Yours?
No, it wasn't on the list. Better luck next year. You hadn't finished it yet. How
has
it
even transmitted yet?
Yeah. It hasn't transmitted.
That's one of the prerequisites to be on the
list. A few minor details I'm working out on it before I pull the trigger literally on the PTT.
Yeah. Well, usually they talk about radios that are... they're still being sold. I'm not sure the BitX 40 would be on that list.
No, it's I don't know what generation. You can't even call it generation because it's just gone way beyond the. They're in the micro BitX series now, and it's just way beyond the original BitX series monoband radios.
Yeah. Well, let's get on in. To the show. Before we get into the Dayton videos, because we've got a number of them tonight, email
from our friend over in Maine, Wayne, W1WBL, wrote us, until you've had a conversation, QSO, with some stranger 6,000 miles away, DX as we call it, with a wire and a device you have learned and studied how to operate. And now this new stranger from a foreign land and you exchange QSL cards and become best friends. Until that happens, you won't know the excitement and the joy that these people, us, called amateur operators, feel and enjoy for the rest of their lives in this craft. I second that, Wayne. I know the feeling I always get is it brings me back to our first field day. When I was totally hooked on HF, they put me in front. I got the general license. They put me in front of the BICOM Pro 3, I think it was at the time. And from that point forward, I was just hooked. And I know that feeling, and I haven't lost it yet. And here we come on another field day. So thanks, Wayne, for writing this. I love it.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's an awesome hobby.
Tommy, I think probably you and I went about 15 years before we ever talked on HF.
Yeah.
Close maybe to that?
Yeah, probably so.
Because we were technicians for a long time and just really didn't have opportunity to get on HF. But we still had a lot of fun.
If you could call anywhere an amateur radio playground, it would be this place right here. The Greene County Fairgrounds in Xenia, Ohio. State and Hamvention 2024. I'm George, W5JDX.
I'm Mike, V3MIC.
And Jeff, K8JTK.
And it's good to be back here again for another exciting Hamvention. We're standing in the corner of the ICOM booth until they run us off. And just wanted to say hello to everyone. We don't know what we're going to shoot yet, but we'll get around and we'll shoot Ray at some point. I think he's the hardest working man in showbiz today.
Yeah, he's getting his money, or ICOM's getting their money's worth, I should say.
Jeff, you've got a little purple ribbon here.
Yes.
Matter of fact,
yeah,
I've got one.
Do. Yeah, that's for
Bob Heil,
right? Bob Heil, K9EID, who passed this year.
Yeah, they're giving those away here at the ICOM booth, and there's a few left over there. We sure do miss him.
Yeah, and his memory lives on. I still have Bob's book, and I still am amazed at his hand-drawn schematics that he used in his books and other things. So, and I think one of my earliest memories of Bob was at Hamvention, I think back in the early 80s before I was licensed. And I was impressed that he would take the time to talk to, at the time, a teenager like me, and talk to me about microphones.
He was good to me, especially when we were doing Ham Nation, and I'd see him and talk to him about various different things. And I was setting up an HF station and wanted to connect microphone to my 7000 at the time. He's like, oh, yeah, just get this, and then you'd be all set. So I got a bunch of stuff from Heil when we were still at Hair Arena back then, and got his book and got it autographed, so I have plenty of memories of Bob as well.
Oh, yeah, Bob would show up here at Hamvention, and any Hamfest he went to, he would go in the Heil Sound booth, and he would stand there and meet and greet folks for literally the entire event. I mean, there was a line always backed up waiting to speak with Heil.
Anything else at the Hamfest, because everybody was just lined up wanting to talk to him.
He was like a rock star, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Occasionally, maybe on Sunday, he would be able to get out of the booth and go out through the flea markets and maybe grab an old piece of gear or two.
Let's see if we can swipe some radios before Ray gets here.
Oh, well, an interesting thing here. This is a kit, a new kit by ICOM. We don't really know what it is yet.
Ray won't tell us what it is. He claims it's a new radio that they're working on, but he won't tell us what it is, and we're supposed to guess. And you can even submit your guess on one of those cards there. I'm not sure what the prize is, but anyway, some interesting-looking boards. A lot of them are identified with a card, as you can see in the case, but some of them are a little more than meets the eye, I suspect.
A lot of years, you'll see radios under plexiglass at the main vendors. This takes it to a whole new level, though.
Your guess, what did you think that was?
Uh, That's funny you asked that question, because I don't think anybody really truly knows what it is. I think that there's been some things deliberately at play to mislead us in that box. So I eventually wrote down absolute nonsense as my answer.
It's an icon pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't your bid, X, Mike?
It was not. A little more substantial than my BidX, for sure.
Yep, and that was just part of a new radio. It wasn't the whole thing. As I mentioned earlier, we had Tommy wasn't there this year, and email wasn't there this year, so it was down to Mike and I. And we recruited some help, and we just ran into some friends that we always see up there and enjoy rag chewing with.
Yeah.
Eyeball QSO, whatever you want to call it. It's always great to visit with people that you've met through this hobby. And well, here's where we got together and just prognosticated about a few things and met someone there that we hadn't seen in a while. Well, a few people we hadn't seen in a while, but one guy who started out about this tall and now he's way up there compared to me. CQ.
CQ?
Yeah, CQ, W5JDX.
KD8YVJ.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, George. How are you?
See, that's how I worked it in.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
So there I was on 80 meters getting my colonoscopy.
So what's been going on in your life?
Man, what has been going on in my life? It's been a while. I'm in college now. I got 1 year left to go of undergrad. Doing aviation. Loving it. Doing a minor in computer science. Might go for a master's in software engineering. Still kind of weighing out the options. We'll see. Taking a summer course for that. That's going to kind of be the deciding factor, I think. But it's been good.
What's your favorite language?
My favorite language? Ooh. Right now, everything's in Python. So it's weird because I think it's going to transition to C++. But Python's been okay. I mean, it's a little... I did Java in the past, so I think Python's a little bit more forgiving, quote-unquote.
So, Jocelyn, how's it been with Chris off at college?
It was quiet till a couple of days ago, and he came back. When is he moving back? Can you help me move him back? No, it's been good. It's been good. We're trying to get reacquainted to everybody back in the house. House rules need to be applied again. No parties, still three.
There's no parties happening. There are no parties. Don't listen to this man.
So is this going to cut into your radio time?
You know, the radio doesn't get used often enough, so it's okay. We have not had to fight for the radio yet.
Not yet. Just during the contest weekends.
Yes. And the last weekend, was the last weekend we had the big solar flare? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if the antenna was connected or not, and it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
So
I appreciate you having a little fun with us on the ICOM interview over there a minute ago. That was great.
Yeah. it's something. I'm realizing now in the middle of doing this that I need a script or some sort of like bullet points, because I don't know what to talk about and I'm just very much rambling. Mike, I can see you kind of nodding along as I'm rambling here.
If you're using a script, that just takes all the fun out
of
it.
This is true. We're at Hamvention. We have to have a good time. And, you know, with us here, nobody knows what's going to happen. Right, George? So.
Yes.
That's true.
Snipe hunt. Snipe hunt's happening.
Yes. That's tonight, isn't it?
Sure is.
Shopping list. Mike.
905.
So you're going to buy it here?
No, I'm just going to take it.
Just taking it.
I can't. It's kind of tight. Oh, maybe
three
not.
Backpacks.
Tommy, I want to thank you for donating this radio.
Jeff.
I don't really have a whole lot. I've kind of been looking for a new shack in general. So I kind of seen if there's anybody here that like does buildings or anything like that, just to see. But, the one I have is in an old camper, and it's kind of really falling apart, and kind of like to move on to something else and get more room and all that kind of fun stuff. So, seeing that, but, you know, I'm just looking for any kind of deals or maybe a radio to do VHF, UHF, wind link, something. I mean, I'm always just looking for stuff.
The only thing I bought so far is a bottle of water. I don't have any room in my luggage. No, he bought it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Emil, you owe me now.
Yeah, Emil owed me a pork chop. So Mike and I made a deal. So what's on your...
Go ahead.
What's on your shopping list, Jocelyn?
I only had a few things. So I got some coax, some RG316 for POTA. It's light, and it had the chokes on it for MABR, so I got that. And I needed a charge controller from Buddy Pole, so those were my two items. They're in the bag. I'm done. So.
Chris, what else is on Jocelyn's shopping list?
You know, there's a 7610 over there and a 7300, and there's that 905. Who knows? No. Pretty light shopping list this year. I think we have what we need pretty much. Yeah. I can't think that there's anything that we're like, oh, we need to get this, so, which is a good problem. But you know, stay tuned. Maybe tomorrow I'll be walking out with, like, you know, arms full of stuff. So
yeah. There you go.
Yeah, there's still the flea market to explore.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I haven't made it through any of that. I haven't made it through all the buildings yet. But anyway, thanks for taking a few minutes out and visiting with us. Always fun to catch up. I think we may see you in Huntsville.
I should be in Huntsville with the Yoda group, yes.
Yeah, and you'll be busy. You don't have time for these old men.
It's the time right around moving, so I'll be moving across back to St. Louis. But
cool. You want to say hi to Tommy?
Hi, Tommy. We miss you. You should show up, because I can't make Huntsville. You can't make Dayton. It doesn't work, you know, but it's okay.
73.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Yeah. Maybe next year. It was good to visit with those guys, wasn't it, Mike?
It was awesome.
That, you know, that's the part I miss the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the social aspect of it is probably the highlight for me, too.
Yeah, buying the stuff, that's all fun and cool and everything, but seeing the people out there, that's the best part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's...
So I got one pork chop sandwich and a water. Mike, got it.
No, I bought my own water. Matter of fact, I bought
actually,
his water.
Actually, you bought me a water, too, yeah. George.
I bought water for both of us. But
y'all share the same one? Or you,
no, it was two separate ones.
Oh, really splurged.
Yeah. But yeah.
Have we got time for a quick cheap old man shopping tip?
Yes.
Since the cheap old man wasn't there. So there was a company that makes this fantastic guy rope called Manstrat. Mastrant.
Yeah.
Anyway, I must have walked by their booth three times, because every time I walked by, they handed me one of these, which is a 10-foot sample. And I figure if I go back seven more times, I have 100 feet. So 100 feet of rope, guy rope, cost me nothing.
It's a little naughty, you know, splicing it together, but that's okay in an email.
That's good stuff.
Are you saying he's being naughty?
yeah, maybe. I got a little sample of that, too. It's good stuff here. I've got a spool of it. Tommy just bought some, too.
Yeah, I got some. That's what's holding my antenna up now.
We're still waiting to see the squirrel-proof characteristics, if it does.
As a matter of fact, I asked the question if it was not squirrel-proof, and I didn't really get an answer. So,
one of those bystanders
said, "Oh, you gotta put. What do you put? Poison on it."
Oh yeah. Chris, we were talking about Chris. You know, the guy standing right beside me. We first met him when he was, I don't remember how old he was. He was a teenager.
He was a little kid.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say knee high to a grapevine or something like that.
I've never heard that term
before.
I've
never seen a grape knee.
It's usually grasshoppers down here, isn't it, Emil?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like something with a cicada now, I guess.
Yeah. But, I think he was Young Ham of the Year 1 year. We were talking about it, and he's been real involved in amateur radio youth activities. His father, Jocelyn, is big into that, too, and does a lot.
Uh-huh.
With with young hams. So that's how we met them initially, was because of all that.
Yeah, I didn't get to see them. I'll see Jocelyn in Huntsville, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll catch Chris next year if it works out, hopefully.
Yeah. We had a little more fun. You know, of course, this program is sponsored by ICOM, so you're going to see some ICOM stuff here because we know a lot of ICOM people.
And it's good stuff.
But that's not all we got. So hang around because a little later in the show, we're also going to have an interview with someone from Flex Radio. As a matter of fact, a guy that I kind of have a connection with.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So we'll be talking about some new Flex Radios a little later in the show. But this guy right here we're about to see is with ICOM and has been with them for a number of years. He does graphic design and that type of work with them. And he's always there in the booth and, you know, helping out, doing whatever. But this year, he's always behind the camera. He's actually run camera for us before. He did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I interviewed Ray, he operated the camera. So this year, I put him in front of the camera, and we had a little bit of fun. Whenever I go to Hamfest that ICOM's at, I always like to visit with Lloyd Chang. Lloyd, good to see you again.
Good to see you, George. Good to see you.
How's everything been going?
Everything's going great. As you can see, we got the new booth, the mystery radio, you know, and the history of our ICOM radios right here lighting out. And, yeah, with the black and red and the tower in the middle, I think it's a good flow for the new booth. That's hoping we can do that next year.
It does look good.
Yeah.
And you got something special going on right here. Is a background. You got a light ring over there.
This ring light right here is for people for testimonial, and we tell them the ICOM story. So basically, I will ask you, you know, tell us your name, your call sign, and how did you get started in the amateur radio? You know, what is your first ICOM radio? How many radios do you have? What is your furthest contact? And how many contacts you got so far? And what are you looking for in an ICOM radio? And so on and so forth. And at the end of it, we will tell them to say, for the love of ham radio. And we'll piece that together at the end and then hopefully get a good video out of it for the post show and for later on promoting the show and so on and so forth.
Okay. That's a lot.
So tell me your name and call sign.
My name is Lloyd Chang.
And how did you get started in amateur radio?
I get started when I start working at ICOM Radio, ICOM America.
That makes sense. Tell us the coolest thing you've done in amateur radio.
I took an ID-51A up to Mount Kochuk and did a contact there without having any practice. I just turned it on, you know, fumbled around. I got a first contact. It was a Kirkland repeater.
Okay, y'all have some big mountains out there.
Oh, yeah, oh, huge mountains. As a matter of fact, I'm planning to take my ID-51A and a SAT-100 up to near Mount Rainier this coming weekend for a backpacking trip.
I'll just skip to the bottom here instead of making you go through all of this. Tell us one thing you wish people knew about this hobby.
So we live in the Washington area. And I want more people to know about ham radio and also ICOM radio. You don't see a lot of advertisement, and so I try to use social media, but I want to take it further down, like TV, commercial, you know, planes flying with a banner in the top, you know, on a boat. As much exposure as we can, since that's our office and that's our state. So, yeah.
I've seen your office, and it's really great. I saw it when it first opened up, the new facility there. But that's one thing I was telling Mike about earlier. It's different about Dayton here. You arrive in Dayton, and if you've got a call sign or something on your shirt, the people who live here immediately know what. Oh, it's that time of year again, right?
It is. And it's cool to see all the call sign from the old to the new. I mean, I just got my LED call sign plate, but it's charging. So, yeah, hoping to put that on. And especially this year is special. We are honoring Bob Hill.
Yeah.
And we miss him.
We sure do. Yeah. We miss Bob, and he would have been standing right over there. Yep. But he's watching. Maybe we'll catch him on DX one day.
He took out the ring, so now we're good.
Yeah.
Fair weather.
Yeah. Well, Lord, always great to catch up with you. And
likewise.
I don't know. We may see you here again next year, if not before.
Yes, sir, we are. We will see you then.
All right. Thank you, sir.
7-3. 7-3. Hi. So welcome to the ICOM booth. And tell us your name and your call sign.
Sure. My name's Chris Pope. I'm Paul Sainz.
Tell us about what you enjoy most about amateur radio.
My favorite part of the amateur radio hobby is the annual snipe hunt expedition.
Mm. That was perfect.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We handed Lloyd the mic, and he was doing one of these interviews with Chris, so we really couldn't hear anybody but Lloyd. So I've forgotten who it was. Why don't you dub the voices? So, yeah. Okay.
Actually, we're going to pin this on Jocelyn. Chris's dad for the funny voice, because wasn't he the one that said, "Hi, this is Chris"?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, which actually I was thinking that first, and then Skype hunt thing kind of worked its way in there.
That was good, funny.
Yeah, Lord's a great guy, man. He's always real helpful.
Oh yeah, and he's the YouTube master too.
All the social media, he does all of that.
So. Yeah, super nice guy.
Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. We got, I don't know, we're not halfway finished yet. So there's a lot more fun from Hamvention coming up, as well as some cheap old stuff a little bit later I haven't even seen yet. So we'll have to see, as a man who strokes his beard, what he has in mind there. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Upgrade your station with one of ICOM's fabulous HF radios. With the IC7610, faint signals are no longer challenging for DXers and contesters. The high-performance RMDR can pick out the faintest of signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. This is the SDR every ham wants. With ICOM's IC905, VHF contesting is a breeze. This all-mode rig covers 5 bands with 1 radio. 2 meters, 70 centimeters, 1.2 gigahertz, 2.4 gigahertz, 5.6 gigahertz bands, and with the optional CX10G transverter, 10 gigahertz. Large color touchscreen, easy D-Star settings, and a separate controller and RF module configuration to reduce signal loss. Explore the world of microwave with the IC905. The IC705 and IC7300 are the perfect go-to rigs for outdoor hams who love POTA and SOTA activations. Both radios feature a large touchscreen with real-time spectrum scope and waterfall for intuitive function and setting operations. The IC705 provides base station features and performance in the palm of your hand from HF to 50, 144, and 440 MHz. The IC7300 is an industry first, using RF direct sampling in an entry-level HF radio. If you're getting a head start on hurricane season, ICOM's IC7100, ID5100, ID50, or ID52 are the perfect traveling companions and should be on your go-kit list. From high-powered base stations to compact and travel-friendly handhelds, ICOM radios offer in-demand features and functions to keep you active on all bands, inside your shack, or out in the field. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
Congratulate another Ham College graduate. We have a new graduate.
Who might that be?
Who might that be?
I haven't heard.
That's Nigel.
Nigel?
Yep, KG0PL.
Congratulations, Nigel. I know you've been working on that for a long time, man. Congrats.
He has another.
She's pretty proud.
Another successful graduate from Ham College.
He beat me to it.
He did. And, you know, he was all the way across the pond over there, Emil.
I'm still just generally cheap.
Generally cheap, yeah. Well, you're going to have to buy a new book now because the one you got's about to expire.
Time to start all over.
Actually, next weekend? You back next weekend?
Yeah, I'll be back for that.
Okay. We're doing the Next Ham College, which will be the very last section of the amateur extra exam. Email. You've always got money-saving opportunities in mind. Set this next segment up for us.
I don't know.
They're in mind. They must not be in practice.
Not always.
All right. So you guys know 2024 field day is coming up quick, right? And from what I hear and from what I see from the logo, it's going to be radioactive. All right. So the cheap old man Go Box just got a cheap old equipment upgrade so that I could complete my epic power gate cheap solution. And hopefully it's not going to be fraught with hazards, but we're going to find out on field day. So check it out.
All right, George, Tommy, Mike, Amateur Logic TV viewers, hurricane season's coming. No better time to practice than field day. So let's see what components we're going to be messing with this year.
Hey, Anna. Well, as you might remember, I'll start off this year in field day with the Go Kit for the FT991 in the power supply here, GMRS rig.
However,
this year, a little bit different. I'm going to actually use some of the connectors for not only the DC input, but also the solar panels. And I know most of you remember some of the wiring that went into that.
I have some diagrams of it in prior episodes, but we're actually going to use the solar inputs to the Epic power gate.
This year I'll also be using, again, second year or third year maybe, the lithium iron phosphate battery, 100 amp hour, that just seems to love to run this radio in the rig.
Any addition this year is going to be a set of cheap old main compliant solar panels, portable solar panels, 100 watt panels I picked up from Harbor Freight, along with its cable to go from the ASME connector to the Anderson power poles that is fed at the back of the radio, back of my Go Kit into the Epic power gate.
I've been using the Epic power gate for some time now. There's a basic diagram from them on the theory of operation there, which is what finally I'm going to fully utilize this year. I have my LiFePO4 battery, the transceiver, of course, the battery, and a power supply, and a solar panel. Things been working great so far in all scenarios that I put it through. So we'll test it to its max this field day.
And let's talk a little bit about that, because there are some specs that I learned about that I needed to verify this was going to work with my rig and my setup in this case. And that was the typical maximum power point voltage of, you can see it's rated 17.5 volts DC of output between 14 and 22 volts, 100 watts or 7 amps. Output from the actual solar panels. So I needed to make sure that was going to be within range of the Epic Park.
So I did a quick check online and found that the support for direct connecting of a solar panel for battery charging of all chemistry types using the MMPT with the following warnings. Basically, it says supplying over 30 volts to the solar panel jack may damage the unit. So we're within the range of what that panel is capable of outputting. So should work fine.
Also up this year for use is going to be the Wolf River Coil, along with the Steel Whip sitting in my shed here, and antenna. It's basically mounts on a ground rod, if you remember that last couple episodes a year or so ago. We'll set that up on a 4-foot driven ground rod with all the green radials that you see here, helping the propagation in the pattern, I should say. So that's the setup. We're going to see how it works and how it works for us this year.
You may a little be interesting to see how you come out on that, because I got a solar panel too I need to do something with. Mike's got a how.
I have a question.
Yeah.
For the cheap old man. I'm wondering what those $8 signs mean, because every time I've looked at a restaurant guide, gives you a price range for the meal. It's usually like anywhere from $2 to $5 signs, $5 being a real swanky, expensive place. But $8 signs a meal?
So I only add one piece at a time over years. So eventually, I can't say that the whole station adds up to cheap old man compliant, but each year I add a piece that is. And Glenn in the chat room, who you all know, KG5CEN, he recommended... They had a sale. It was like $40 less than their normal price. And I said, okay. I got the CFO's approval, the chief female officer, and she came with me, mainly to make sure that was the only thing I brought home. And, yeah, we're going to see how that works out in field day.
Cool.
Keep us informed.
Cool. Yeah. And we've got to get our field day plans together too, Tommy.
Yeah.
It's coming up fast.
It really is.
That mystery box of parts, that was not a BitX 40 mic that Ray was showing off there. He told us a little bit about what it was.
Well, this is the most interesting thing this year at Hamvention. It is a box of parts from ICOM. Are you getting into kitting building here, or is this eventually going to be sold assembled?
Well, what I've been telling everybody is this is a box of bits and pieces in the radio that we will debut at the Tokyo Ham Fair in August. But not all the bits and pieces out of the radio are in the box. That is the riddle. So tell me, what do you think it's going to be, George?
Well, I can tell you a couple of things I see right off.
Okay.
And that is this board right here. Says PA200W.
Okay.
Now, that would tend to make me think 200 watts. Control panels, these will all break apart, be mounted.
You know what, George? I actually had some young engineers ask me how we were going to get the knobs on that board.
Yeah.
I mentioned to him, look at it closely, and he goes, yeah, there's no way of getting... And I'm like... You do realize it's a breakaway board, right?
Yeah.
Oh. That was a response. Oh.
So it's an SD card, which I'm fine with. So I'm saying it's going to be a bigger radio, just judged by all these boards, and it has an SD card slot. Digicel units, two of them. So it may have two receivers. Antenna switchboard, four relays, not sure I can say anything more about that. Connect board, it's got a lot of mini plugs, it's got multiple USB ports, looks like maybe another Ethernet port, a DVI, a battery backup.
And this is the second fishbowl of ideas here.
So my entries were in there yesterday.
Okay.
I feel good about them.
You got a whole second row of boards to talk about.
RF board.
A lot of discrete components on that board, huh?
Yeah, but I still think it's going to be an SDR. even though it does have all of these discrete components on there. Anything else, Ray, that I think all of these products have been around a while.
They have been, except for the PW2.
Is it shipping now?
Not yet. We are ready to submit to the FCC. And we're looking at end of summer, beginning of fall of this year.
Now, I heard that the 7610 already had RF predistortion in the transmitter as a firmware upgrade. Have you heard that?
Well, the hardware was built in. It was very interesting to see all speculation when we first announced the PW2 and talking about the digital predistortion. And everybody's like, oh, there's going to have to be a hardware change. And then they started looking at the service manual. Since day one, the 7610 has been designed to have digital predistortion built in. The firmware update was just released for the U.S. versions on the 15th of May. So we'll see how all of that plays out as people start installing the U.S. version of the firmware in the U.S. radio.
So do you think that will extend to the amplifier? There'll be some connection to help the amplifier out with that?
Yes, there will be. There will be a cable available to do that with.
And what about the other radios? Do we think any of the others will be getting a firmware update to do this?
There was a firmware update released on the 15 for the 7300, the 7610, and the 7850/51. So there has been updates for those.
I saw that on Rob Sherwood's presentation the other night at Contest University, and it is amazing to look at how sharp those signals are coming out that have had the predistortion done to them. All that splatter is gone. I think that's going to be a big thing. You know, a lot of times people don't care about what their signal looks like that much as they do what their receiver is doing. But as we get radios that'll do this, I think there'll be a lot more fistfights come up on HF maybe where your radio's 5 wide, you know, or something like that.
You're impeding on my frequency. Move up 5. QSY 5.
Yeah. But it was well-defined. You could see exactly what it was cutting out. So I think that'll be great for the band, especially on contesting and things like field day.
Yes, sir. It'll be fun.
So, Ray, anything else going on?
That's about it. Other than it's our 60th anniversary, we're showcasing a lot of the historical radios and that, so hopefully you'll get that on your show as well. We did have a ham from the UK bring in a radio, a 4E. Still operates, still functions, and it's serial number 001.
Wow.
So go ahead and take a look at them back there. I got some guys waving at me that I got to go do another thing here. So it was great to be on the show, and we'll probably read some of these on the show one of these days.
Yeah, come on down, and we'll go over that. Have a big old time.
Sounds
thanks,
good.
Ray.
Thank you, George.
He didn't give a lot of hints, did he?
He didn't give any, really.
No.
I know what I think it is. Mike, did you tell me earlier you had a clue there on that?
Well, that one clue we talked about on the PA board, PA 200,
yeah.
200 watts, so when it's 200 watts, you're not looking at a 7300. You're looking at something higher end than that. So it might be a replacement for the 7851. A lot of folks were guessing that as their answer.
Yeah, I kind of lean that way. 200 watt PA And we assume that's what the PA200 meant.
It's, two receivers.
200 watts. Probably two receivers. Maybe. Not positive about that. But 200 watts, that narrows it down to the 7700 series or the 7800 series. I have a 7700. It's 200 watts. That radio's been discontinued for a while. They haven't replaced it, so it could be a new 7700, maybe a 7750, I don't know. Or it could be a new 7800, 7852 maybe. Who knows, but I think it's going to be definitely on that end of the scale. Because that was a lot of boards there and a lot of parts.
A lot of connectors on some of those boards. And if Ray's not messing with us and saying that every board that's in that case is in the radio, but not every board that's in the radio is in that case. So
yeah,
that's the case, it's got a lot of connectors on it.
Yeah, it's not QRP rig. I mean,
no,
there was a lot of stuff in there. So we'll see. We'll have more information on that coming up, and maybe we'll get ready to empty out that fishbowl and tell us what everybody else was guessing in there.
Cool.
Yeah, it's always great to see Ray. I mean, that guy never changes.
Tommy, I know you'd like to be in at Hamvention this year. You couldn't make it, but I did bring back something for you.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is a limited edition item right here.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's one of four or two of four.
The Ham College Coaster? I saw you had one.
I got one over here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, cool. And a Ham College mug. Very cool.
With a silhouette of Dean Martin and Professor Thomas.
I can tell that's us, too.
Yep. So,
very cool.
Yeah, I'm not drinking hot tea out of mine tonight because it's just a little too warm to be drinking hot tea down here. Look at they made that.
Y'all made this, Mike?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, very cool.
Look at the quality of that.
Really?
Yeah.
You put the lettering on the cup too?
It's actually it's really cool. It's the first time I've done it. It's a sublimation ink printer, and you print it on it actually looks like good quality bond paper, and then you put that, obviously it's a mirror image. You put that around the mug, you tape it in place, and then the mug goes into like a special heated mug press, and it's heated up for probably, I don't know, 3 minutes.
Really?
You let cool off, you peel off the paper, and that's what you get.
That's amazing. You can't feel any.
Oh, it looks like it's, no, it, like glazed.
It's actually sublimated right into the cup. Now, I should point out that it is a special cup. If you turn the cup on the bottom side there, it'll show you that it's actually made by Cricut, the people that make the vinyl cutters and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
For the crafters. They also make that mug press. And Mrs. V3MIC actually won the mug press in a contest she entered, so we decided to try it out on the Ham College.
Well, that's awesome. Appreciate that to both of you.
No problem.
Mrs. V3MIC, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. So heat won't hurt it? Put it in the dishwasher?
Nope. That ink is absorbed right into that ceramic, I guess.
That's pretty amazing. This is from, I'm hoping I don't butcher the name, Thalia, Thalia. Anyway, it says, "Hi, Tommy. The old ALTV episodes been uploaded to Roku, or with them having been uploaded to Roku. Been watching the early ones. You taught me a few things, and I'm only up to episode 17. I applaud your knowledge of digital photography. Thanks for doing those segments. I'm hoping there are more to come as I progress through more episodes." And the subject was your photography segments, so the photo tips, things I used to do. And George has said I ought to do some more of those. I've considered it. So anyway, I'm glad they helped you. I don't remember how many there were. There weren't as many. I think we kind of veered off from those. So you may have hit the last one. There may be a couple more. I just don't remember.
There were There were several of them. Yeah,
but I don't know if there were more than 17.
We could use some more. I mean, I think it was good stuff. It was useful tips because, and face it, I think the need is there more now than it was in episode 17 because there are some horrible photos, digital photos these days online.
Yeah.
I think folks could use a few tips.
Yeah, maybe I'll do some more of those sometime. Every once in a while I'll get a kind of an idea block of ham radio topic, or something I have to actually have time to do. I have a long list, but some of them take more time than I have. So anyway, maybe look into doing some of those in the future. But I'm glad you liked them. Thank you.
Yeah. This next segment here is one I promised you a little earlier about a guy I got a slight connection with over the years. We worked at the same place about a decade apart, had the same job. And he does Flex Radio. Mike, were you the cameraman on this or was Jeff? I don't remember which one of you.
I was the cameraman on the Gerald. And Gerald, yeah.
Okay. So let's look at what Flex introduced this year. Here's a guy that years ago I saw his name on a lot of papers and schematics and things around a radio station I used to work at. Gerald Youngblood, good to see you.
Good to see you too. It's amazing we worked in the same place at one time, didn't know each other.
True, a few years apart.
Yeah. When did you go there?
I went there in 85. I was there 85 through, I believe, 97.
Yeah, so I was about 10 years before that. So.
Some of your handiwork was still around.
That's nice to know it was still there.
It was still around in the schematic, so I had no trouble with it.
Well, go ahead.
Except the old directional array. I think there were two or three layers of engineers who added wiring to that thing.
That's true. And the old transmitter's still there that I worked on.
You worked on the RCA, right?
Yeah, the RCA transmitter.
That was a backup. There was a Collins for Maine when I was there. It's been replaced now. I think maybe they have a BE solid state now. But, yeah, the old RCA was still there. And it would make a kilowatt, and I didn't push it any harder than that.
Yeah, and I still have one of the tubes out of the FM station, the ZZQ. 3CX 10,000A. So anyway, that's enough talking about the old stuff. So
So tell us about the new stuff. You're with Flex Radio and have been. You kind of got this ball rolling a good many years ago.
So this was a hobby project that I started in 1999 and turned into a business in 2003. So 21 years ago, shipped the first SDR-1000, and we've really pioneered software-defined radios in ham radio. And software-defined radio means the software is the radio. Now, it takes hardware to make that work. And so, really, the new radios, the 8000 series, we announced today. And what we've done is we've quadrupled the computing power that's inside the radio. It's like a quad-core ARM processor in the radio. We've doubled the FPGA performance. We've added memory in the radio. And what these things let us do is to put additional capabilities like adaptive pre-distortion inside the radio. And I do mean adaptive. It will listen to your signal and know whether it needs to apply different equalizer settings to your pre-distortion as it operates, which will be an innovative capability. We're adding wideband HF, which came out of our experience with government work in HF. And that's instead of a 3 kilohertz FT8 channel, you can have up to a 40 kilohertz FT8 channel where you can transmit and receive anywhere in that channel. We're adding the capability of the spectrum display. When you zoom out on the spectrum display, normally, like any spectrum analyzer, the noise floor goes up because you've got wider bandwidth, basically. We're adding the capability to have extremely high resolution but wide bandwidth. So you'll have spectral awareness even when you're zoomed out to the whole band. You'll be able to see weak signals in that. So those are a few of the capabilities we're adding. We also add, if you see the little dongle, the little antenna on the back there, that's a GNSS satellite receiver standard in every one of the new radios. So you have precision, frequency, and time built in, and it comes right out of the box that way.
So the radio is this box right here, and then this is a control panel?
This is optional. That's an optional control panel. You can run this with a PC, Mac. You can run it with an iPad, an iPhone. All of those can control the radio, either at your desktop or remotely. And then you can use a Maestro. This is the newest version we came out with this year. And so you can pick it up and take it with you. You can put it on, take it. It has Wi-Fi, dual-band Wi-Fi. 10-hour battery is optional with it. Plug it into your network as well. Plug in an external display. All that works with all the radios.
So the Maestro is shipping now?
Maestro is shipping now. We have stock. The 8600 and 8400 will ship starting in August. We have four different models in that new series. You see the Maestro front panel here. We have a version called the 8600M that integrates that into the front panel of the radio. So we have an 8400 and an 8600, an 8400M and 8600M with the integrated display. A couple of the difference between the 8400 and 8600, the 8400 has a single antenna digitizer. We call it a spectral capture unit. And the 8600 has a dual, which means you can have two different antennas that are simultaneously being digitized. Like you could have a tribander and a dipole. And you could have up to four pan adapters, four receivers on the 8600, and two on the 8400. So those are a couple of the key differences.
Cool. Well, I've been seeing your radios around for a number of years now, and SDR, I mean, that's, I don't know why you would build anything else anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's not only the software capabilities to be able to do new things, it also, because you're directly sampling the entire spectrum, you can see the entire spectrum, you can tune anywhere in the spectrum, and it actually is lower distortion, so the sound is so much better in these direct sampling radios.
Yeah, I heard a talk by Rob Sherwood yesterday talking about pre-distortion, and that's going to be the next big thing in radios, I think.
Yeah, so we've been working on it for a number of years, and we've developed the science. Now we're implementing it in the radio, and I want to reemphasize it needs to be adaptive so that if you change your antenna, you change the SWR, you change the impedance, that changes the performance of the amplifier. You know from amplifiers. And it needs to be able to train in real time, and ours trains in real time.
Cool. So did that idea come in your mind from that old RCA transmitter and some of the pre-correction that those type of things had to have?
That's right. Those they've been doing that in the broadcast world for a while, but they're only single frequency.
That's right. They don't have to change.
Single frequency is a lot easier than covering from 1.8 to 54 megahertz. So, yeah.
Well, Gerald, I appreciate you talking with us. Always great to run into you.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much for the interview.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Lloyd.
73.
He from Mississippi?
He is from Mississippi.
How could you tell? He did a good imitation of George.
He actually almost kind of sounded like Alabama to me a little bit. But.
Well, I'm not sure where he was born, but it was down here somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But he...
You wouldn't think it'd sound that different, but I can hear a difference between Mississippi accent and Alabama.
Oh, actually, yeah, definitely. Right, Emil?
Yeah.
I can tell one between here and Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody can tell Louisiana.
Yeah.
The country of New Orleans.
Y'all got some smart people over there, man.
We got a few.
It's a lot of ham radio stuff goes on around here.
It is. I mean, you got Gerald there. You got Ray Novak. Martin Jew. And we got...
George Thomas.
George Thomas. Dean Martin.
Dean Martin. How did Brady lose his accent? That's what I want to know.
You know, I asked him about that one time. And when he, I don't remember how old he was a kid. He, his folks sent him up to live with maybe his grandmother, someone up in the Chicago area.
Because that's what I hear in Chicago when I hear him talk.
And he said, you know, when I went up there, I had to lose that Mississippi accent pretty quick or I was going to get my butt kicked all the time. He said it was easy, you know, so yeah. He doesn't have the Mississippi accent.
No, not too much. You can hear a little bit of it in there, but I can hear like that northern, like Illinois, Chicago area.
Yeah. Mike, you wanted to talk a little bit about the outdoor areas there.
Oh, yeah, the infamous, well, not infamous really, but the famous flea market area.
The mud pit?
That's not it.
Well, actually, it wasn't too bad. I stayed away from the of course, Cousin Jerry's a trooper, and he even brought boots this year. I don't think he used them, but I know he had some mud issues when he came back to a hotel that he had to deal with. But
Cousin Jerry.
There he is.
Yep.
That was the night we ate at the Cracker Barrel, I think.
Yep.
Anyway, I almost came back away from Hamvention empty-handed. I did not make one purchase until, of course, we headed back late Saturday. Well, actually, midday Saturday. And I'm walking around the flea market area thinking of Emil every time I saw a dollar table and a $2 table. And I came across this beauty here. It's a Motorola GM 300. It's a 45 watt. This particular model is 45 watt 8 channel UHF. And I got it for the rock bottom price of $2.
Look at it.
Wow. Is that the one they make repeaters out of?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
It's very usable for converting to digital modes as well. It checks all the boxes for converting. Well, actually, you don't really even have to do anything to radio. Just tie into the proper points on the radio and away you go. Awesome. Anyway, that was my big score, $2. Actually, it was $1 for the radio. And they had everything kind of separate there, so they had the mic separately in a tray, and everything on the dollar table was $1. So I picked the radio up, and it's like, oh, I better get a microphone. And the guy in the booth behind or in the booth said, oh, just give him the microphone. And I felt bad that I was only paying $1 for the radio, so I said, I'll give you $1 for the microphone. No
problem. So going to the Everything's a Dollar store.
Wow. Yeah.
Emil, it looks like he found the right box.
I think he did. Although, I don't know, did you pay $2 for that bottle of water?
I don't know how much I paid for that water.
It's probably at least $2.
It was less than the pork chop sandwiches.
Actually,
so you're gonna
should talk about
up.
The pork chop sandwich, because I probably ate a week's worth of meat in that sandwich at lunchtime.
Yeah, they're good, though.
They were fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. I couldn't get to the picture quick enough. I didn't get a whole lot of still photos, you know. Like I say, I missed most of Saturday. But there's the booth, and you can see how far back we are from the meet there, Emil.
Yeah.
Actually, we should point out that the two peaked red tents are actually the cooking area, so they're full of grills that are just grilling pork chops by the dozens.
Yep.
Man, that's making me hungry thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, this year ICOM was celebrating their 60th anniversary.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And they brought a lot of the historic radios over the decades with them. and had them on display right there in the booth this year. And our friend Steve from out west, from out in Washington, was there this year. And Steve and I hung around some on late on Saturday. And I handed him the microphone and gave him the job of walking through and talking about those radios, looking at them and, you know, seeing what we could learn about them. Let me just tell you this. Amateur radios have come a long ways in the past 60 years.
Oh, yeah. That was I was 2 years old when they were opened up at the doors.
Wow.
And this is our good friend Steve, W7UDI, who's a longtime friend. And he did a lot of roadie work for Bob Heil over the years.
Yeah, it's been many years working as Bob's roadie and here at Hamvention and some of the other regional hamfests. It's been fun working with Bob over all these years.
So now I have kidnapped him. Yeah.
I jumped ship. Yeah. Now I'm with George here, roadieing with George.
So we're going to look at some other radios here. These are some of the ICOM classics, from years ago.
FDM AM-1, built in 1964 from the N1 Electric Works Company. So you have your RF connection here. This is all transistor in 1964. And this looks like I got to put on my glasses to read. It would look like it's 6 meters. So we go all the way down to, well, this goes up to 54. And then it comes all the way down to 50 megahertz. So one of the first 6 meter transmitters or transceivers. I'm going to assume this was probably an AM radio back in 1964.
Probably had crystals.
It has a VFO. Wow. So S meter, battery powered because there's a battery indicator.
Yeah.
And then you had your S meter and then your RF out. So pretty simple. You had your AF gain here and then a tune. So there we go. Now moving on to the IC230.
That almost looks like a cassette there.
So, let's stick the cassette in there. This is after the 8-tracks. So now we have one of the first FM, I'm going to assume this is a VHF FM, so probably 2 meters. So interesting volume squelch. Then you had your direct and then your repeater. Probably crystal controlled or multiple crystals. So, this might have been VFO. Oh, so there's two. So we have in 1972, one of the first FM 2 meter radios. So you have an A and B bank switch right up here at the top. Here in 1976, we got the IC211 245, another all band. This 2 meter all mode. So now we're starting to get into the AM or FM sideband.
It looks like a pretty big jump from the
230. Yes. Yep, it's a huge jump, but this was just strictly FM. Mm-hmm. So now we got to the all modes. So FM, upper sideband, lower sideband, and CW. Moving down to the IC501 701. It has a VFO here. Just a VHF or UHF multiband radio. We're back down to AM, lower sideband, upper sideband, no FM in here. You got your RF gain, which is a switch. It's not a, so it's fixed RF gain. It's not a pot. We did have a RIT here, and then the CW monitor. Oh, here's the clue. 50, 51, 52, 6 meter.
Ah,
here we go. Now we're getting down, the IC280.
Well, that's starting to look a little more modern.
Yeah, now we're starting to come into our era. So I got my ticket in 76, and then here we go, starting to move up. So this is a 2 meter FM transceiver. It's probably just one of the early synthesized radios, and then you had your duplex simplex, and then you have your offset. So like modern radios, depending what part of the band you're in, it will set your offset either positive or negative. You have to do it yourself. So this was operator dependent. Many times people would make that mistake. And high and low power, just your basic. And then this, oh, early memory channels. So you had 0, 1, 2, 3. So you had 4 memory channels that was in the IC-280. Now we're coming into the handhelds, the IC-280. This is 2 meters. They had the early thumb wheel switches here. So you just set your frequency. So this was 147.200. Plus they have the 5 kilohertz, so it's 205. So then there's your power on button. Similar, this was the 220 version because it was IC3. And so this was set to 224, 440. And the 5 kilohertz is off. And then in the IC4E, this is now the UHF version. So 440.690. And so there we have the HTs in the early 80s. Now we're going to the NHF rig here, the IC735. So pretty basic, but look at that. But it's not. Look, RF level, RF gain, RF power. Here's your gain and delay for your Vox, your microphone gain. But you would think, it when you first look at it, oh, that's an equalizer. No, it's deceiving. So basically, your 160 through 10 meters without the work bands, because this is before the work bands. That one might have the work band. Oh, no, that's a 2-meter radio. That's a all-mode 2-meter radio. The 275, which took over from the 211-245, so 1986. So now we have FM, upper lower sideband, CW, just a more modern version of an all-mode 2-meter radio. Then...
Well, this is a real classic here.
Yes, the 706. Now, this is a Mark II.
Yes.
Well, there was the 706, the original. But this was the original, had all HF bands, plus it had 2 meters, with 2-meter FM. Perfect radio for in the mobile and to get on. And you just had one radio in the rig. Cars in the 90s were becoming a real pain in the butt to put radios in.
Yeah.
Very little dash or console space. But this is a pretty small radio. You can fit in here almost anywhere. And I think this head detaches, if I remember right. And then you can remote it. So now all you had was one of the first remoted radios.
I have two of the IC7000s, which replaced this.
Which replaced that.
With a color display. Essentially the same radio.
Same radio, but yeah. Ended up with a color mm-hmm. Display. Here we have in 1988, the IC781. A huge HF rig. Top of the line contesters and DXers started. This was the baby in the day, and with the display in the middle, full HF rig. And so that came out in 1988. In 1995, now we got the 775 DSP. So now ICOM started putting DSP into the radios here. This one had a little bit of a hard life, missing a knob. But hey, this is, you know, these are classics, and so for your one radio on the box, here's your complete HF station.
And now this one,
the 7800, the flagship, the big boy, and this one's had a little bit of a hard life, but this came out in 2003, and then this was the one that was just hit the world by storm. It was just such an unbelievable radio as it came out. I think it has the SD card or a memory card here. One of the early uses of memory cards to upgrade the firmware, and just a great radio. It's big.
Yeah.
And it's edge having dual receivers. It's it's a great, great radio. And then we went into the ID1 in 2004.
That's the first D-Star.
The D-Star. This is the very first D-Star radio here. So this is the history of D-Star, and it came onto the scene in 2004. And then 10 years later, we went from the 7800 to the flagship 7851. Yep. And this is the Coupe de Grace, rack-mounted. You can put it in a 19-inch rack. It has handles. It's beautiful. Beautiful radio. Just an upgraded version of the 7800, but just a pleasure to operate. For you guys that like to rack-mount things, there you go.
That's pretty incredible, man.
Yeah.
They've been doing bleeding-edge stuff all the way back from the start.
Yeah.
The IC... 2AT was a game changer. I mean, up to that point, I got to say, all the other handhelds that were being used for 2 meters and 70 centimeters, they were all crystal controlled. And with those, I'm assuming they were BCD thumb wheel switches on the top for setting the frequency. That was a game changer. ICOM must have sold thousands and thousands of those handy talkies.
Yeah, it's very interesting look through history. They've got a lot more radios than that back in the locker. They've got a room there out at the headquarters that is just full of practically every model they ever built.
What was that ICOM handy talkie you got? That first handy talkie, wasn't it?
IC24AT.
Yeah, so there's a whole lot of them in between those, but I guess those are milestone ones.
Yeah,
and at IC735, that little HF rig, you don't see too many of those 735s with the. They usually have a, you know, that little area of the radio that's recessed, and it looks like like an equalizer with the slide pots. Mm-hmm. There's a supposed to be a smoked colored, it's see through, but a smoke colored plastic cover that. That flips up and covers that those buttons that are recessed in that area.
Wow, cool stuff.
Don't see too many 735s with that little door on it still.
Yeah, Steve, apparently not. Yeah,
Steve did a good job too.
He did. You know,
he's an awesome guy, man. Like, he's another one of the ones I miss seeing out there.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing we're talking about, the ham radio hobby when we started tonight. We wouldn't know any of those folks.
Oh, yeah.
Had it not been for that. And, you know, get into ham radio, get on the air a little bit, you can pretty much end up with friends from everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really great to catch up with a lot of them this year. One final friend that I visited with while I was there, and this was pretty much near closing time on Saturday evening. I was sure glad I ran into this guy because I hadn't seen him in a couple of years.
Some of you may know this guy right here. I've run across him a few times in my life. It's Gordon West, WB6NOA. Hi, Gordo.
Well, hi there, George. And, wow, I don't know about how many attended Dayton Hamvention 2024, but it was certainly a packed group for 3 days.
Oh, yeah, it was wall to wall every time I tried to walk through anyway. Just almost stacked on top of each other. So you're working with the ARRL now.
Yes, I was very fortunate that the league wanted my amateur radio training books, so the ARRL has now brought them aboard as our publisher. The W5YI group does a fabulous job on their examination work as well as their remote exams. So they're happy. We're happy. It just worked out well.
Oh, that's great. And ARRL was very fortunate to get you. I mean, it's a great fit, I think.
Well, I appreciate that. And this is a great show for me because it lets me work with league officials, their paid staff, and their volunteers. And, wow, we're all on the same frequency, and it's a wonderful job that they're doing and our emphasis on kids. And, George, did you see all the kids here?
Yeah.
Today was a great day that says ham radio is sure for kids as well.
Did you smoke any pickles this year?
Oh, did I smoke a pickle? You know, the West Coast wise guy, Gordo, coming to an ARRL group that's fairly formal, I thought I better not smoke a pickle because it certainly is not UL approved and could very well blow up the wrong person. So, no pickle smoking in the ARRL booth.
Well, I can understand that. And you had a big crowd this morning for your session, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was really good. We had an instructor session, and I'm now heading up as a national instructor, all the Elmers. So we're hoping that your great work on amateur logic with your going over the question pool for, I believe, extra class now, other instructors will want to join the league's instructor cadre and join in teaching ham radio.
Well, we always recommend your books. We have all along. And really, the last issue of the ARRL's extra study guide, the thick book. Now, that is a very good book. If you're just wanting to learn the bare minimum and go take your test, that's not for you. But if you want to dig deep now, that's a good book.
It absolutely is. So it's a good balance of both league books as well as Gordo books. So depending as to how much they want to get involved in electronics, they've got a wide choice. Yeah. And again, it is such a delight to work with the league officials.
That's fantastic. And I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Bob Heil. And how much we miss him being here this year.
We had so many folks come up to me today just to express their sadness on the loss of Bob. But so many folks said, wow, what a guy. He lived actually five or six lifetimes for his one brief lifetime. So, and I echoed that. So we all think of Bob and we all thank Bob for all his hard work in forming amateur radio as what our service is today.
I feel very fortunate to have known Bob and you as well. You know, you're the two top honchos in this ham radio having fun hobby. So it's just been great to know y'all.
Well, we'll all miss Bob, and we wish Heil Sound they'll continue on with great products, and Sarah continues on with a great legend that we've all lost but we'll always remember.
And the microphones are just as good as they ever were. This is a Heil right here.
You bet.
I think maybe they have a few projects that Bob had been working on that had not been released. So maybe something there, but there was a great line of products already. So hopefully they will be around for years to come because I use a lot of different microphones over the years. And I'm not lying when I say the Heils are my preferred microphones.
That's right. Well, I sure agree there. Well, George, keep up the great work, your whole team on Amateur Logic. We watch it regularly and can't wait to see what you're next going to do.
Okay, Gordo, thanks for stopping and spending a little time with us. And, boy, let's meet here again next year. How about that?
Yeah, I've been here almost 40 times now, first at the Biltmore and then the Hera Arena that unfortunately is no more, and here at the Greene County Fairgrounds. Spectacular, clean, accommodating, just the best, and the Hamvention Committee, George, I understand 700 volunteers. So, volunteers, if you were part of the group, we certainly salute you for an absolutely spectacular venue.
You couldn't ask for a better Hamfest. Next Hamfest I'm going to will be Huntsville, which is also a great one. Maybe we'll see you down there one year.
Roger that. See you at a Hamfest soon.
7-3.
73 and 73 all, and watch Amateur Logic.
And watch Ham Nation.
That's true.
There's nobody like Gordo.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
An ambassador for ham radio, for sure.
He's the first name I knew in ham radio. When I first started looking for study material, his stuff came up literally everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's right. He's been going to Hamvention for years. I remember at the Hera standing in front of the Icon booth, and there was a fella that was standing next to me. We got talking, and then Gordo showed up, and the guy said, Gordo, I got a picture on my phone I want to show you. And it was a picture, must have been in the 60s. It was black and white, and there's a shirtless Gordo walking around the flea market area at Hamvention.
Well, could have been carrying a surfboard, except there's no surf around.
It would have had antennas on. I know that much.
Well, that's it. That's our Dayton Hamvention
adventure.
Adventure. I like that word better. That's what it is. I didn't get to see everything I wanted to see this year. Never do, but wow. So much to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. You have to stay moving pretty much the whole time to see everything there.
Oh, you still won't. Another fun Hamvention. I hope we'll see a couple of more folks here next year.
Never know. It could happen.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Before we get out of here tonight, any final thoughts, Tommy?
Nope. Get your field day prep ready. Start prepping for field days. Be here before you know it. Let's see. I guess we'll have one more amateur logic before field day.
Just barely.
So.
Yep.
Yep.
We got to do some antenna work before then, too.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Email.
Well, keep it cheap, guys. And even though if you need help, Tommy, with breaking that handle off of the mug, seems that I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah. Email's so cheap, he won't even turn on the light so we can see it.
Oh, he's going to use a flashlight.
I got a flashlight.
Wow. Mike?
We're going to have to modify Email's motto there, so when it says keep it cheap, we put $8 signs next to it.
I'm going to do that.
All right. Thank you all for watching. We appreciate it. Hey, why don't you, as long as you're here, if you haven't already, click the subscribe button down there. And by all means, click the like button and share. You know, you can share this as well with some of your friends. We appreciate that.
Sharing's nice.
Yeah. All right. I guess that's going to do it. And I will see you, along with Dean Martin and Professor Thomas, next Friday night for the final in the continuing series of Ham College lessons on the Amateur Extra class.
Extra, extra. 7-3, everybody. Good night.
7-3.
7-3.
7-3.